Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 246 of Is This Thing Working? Hey, and I'm James. I'm your host. My co-host is Denise over here. How you doing, Denise?
I'm doing great. Doing awesome today on this Wednesday. It's a hump day.
Hump day.
We're so glad to be here with everybody today. And there is a lot going on, as there usually are. And what do you think about us being back on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays? We are doing it.
Yeah.
We are now here for 2 days, Monday and then Wednesday. Make sure you go back and check out our podcast on Monday, and then we did one on Tuesday as well. So go check those out. That was fun. We're having a good time getting back in the swing of things. And before we get started today,
we want to state these are our opinions and they're our assertions. We own them. Hey, if you like them, hit the like button. Share our show with all your friends. And if you don't like our opinions, hit that like button. Share the show with all your friends. Tell them why you don't like the show. Either way it goes, hey, do the one thing. Hit that like button and share our show.
Yeah, is this thing working? That's for sure. And we want you to be informed and become engaged. And that's what we're here to do. And we're going to start out with, everyone knows what happened. Do you know that we're shutting down the USAID? Everyone in the free world knows that by now.
Yep.
USAID is shutting down. They're shutting down the offices.
Yep.
And yesterday, a firestorm started yesterday. And
by an email that CBS News obtained, I believe, initially, wasn't it?
Yes, and you know CBS News, they going to dramatize everything and make, you know, any liberal media any longer, that's all they do. Everything is bigger than it is. But if you got an email that said, shred and burn all your documents, including classified ones, would you go,
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Sounds like a big deal to me.
It does to me, too.
Yeah. Well, Cullen Linebarger from the Gateway Pundit put out this article yesterday, and this was after the news popped out about the email. And it said that a stunning email was issued by USAID officials that will generate a national uproar and provoke another massive legal battle. Politico obtained. Oh, so I'm sorry. It was Politico, not CBS News.
CBS got it from Politico.
Oh, okay. Got you.
I guess.
Well, Politico obtained an email from a senior official at USAID ordering the remaining staff to convene at the agency's former headquarters on Tuesday to do what? Destroy all remaining documents by either shredding them or burning them. And it said that USAID's acting executive secretary, Erica Carr, told the staff to meet at the RRB 14th Street lobby to shred as many documents first and reserve the burn bags for when the shredder becomes unavailable or it just needs a break. So, I mean, you hear all this and you see this and you're like, oh, shit. And it even goes on to say that she also ordered staff to label the burn bags with the words secret and USAID B/B/IO/. In dark Sharpie, if possible. And she said to make sure that the burn bags did not overfill and close them with staples at the top. Well, look, and this means that classified documents will be and are being burned. So to me, this sounds like a big deal, man.
It does sound like a big deal. I would even be concerned. But you know what concerns me is the leaks, you know. Because then they come out later on in the day, in the evening, and say that this was only sent to like a handful of people.
Like 3 dozen, something like that. Yeah.
So, you know, the person that leaked the email, it's going to be easy to find. So I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, though, the wording of the email sure doesn't look like it's on the up and the up anyway, does it not? I mean,
no.
Think about this. Because to me, USAID is their own, supposedly their own organization, and those are their documents, whether they consider it classified or not. What level of classification are we talking about here? You know what I mean? And it would seem to me that if you're telling somebody to burn and shred classified documents, that would be criminal. I would think.
Well, I agree there. But also, on the other side of the spectrum, which I'm good at doing.
Do it.
Is President Trump is the president of the United States. He can declassify anything.
Right.
So if he decides that he wants those papers shredded and thrown out and burned, if you know, then that's his choice.
Right.
You know, he is the actual one to say if it's classified or not.
Yeah.
He gets to make that choice. And but someone came out from President Trump's team, and they said that the USA building will soon, her name is Anna Kelly, and she came out and she said the USA building will soon be occupied by CBP. This email was sent to roughly three dozen employees. The documents involved were old, mostly courtesy content, which is content from other agencies, and the originals still exist on classified computer systems. And she calls it more fake news hysteria. I will agree with the hysteria, but it really wasn't fake news.
Right.
Because it did come out.
Yeah.
Now, the way it came out probably was the wrong way. And why can't people just, you know, try to find out what's going on before they break some
Nobody trusts the media and nobody trusts the government. I mean, yeah, you look at this entire story here and you got to look at it on both sides and go, well, hell, that sounds like they're lying and that sounds like they're lying.
Well,
so,
when you think about it, remember before President Trump took office, how there was a truck in front of the Biden White House or whatever.
In front of the FBI building, or the DOJ. Yeah.
You know, and we just went nuts over that. I mean, the conservatives were like, what are you shredding?
Exactly. And you should be asking this.
I get it.
Yeah.
So what are you shredding?
Yeah.
And what documents? And yeah, we want to know.
Yeah.
We're so sick of the government not being transparent.
Of the cover up. Yeah.
Yes. We want it
of the cover up. And to me, this is what looks like from Anna Kelly. To me, it looks like a cover up just based on the fact I don't trust either. You know what I mean? I don't trust either one of them. I don't trust my government and I don't trust the news media.
I know. I told someone because there's another thing we're going to talk about is the January 6th pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Well, we've been all having this conversation on X. And what happened was the FBI give that information to the House Judiciary Committee. And so, of course, you know how we feel about committees, you know, just another way to cover up things, you know. And so we're having this conversation about this, and I asked them, do you think we'll find out anything? Will anything actually happen finally on something? And people are on there constantly telling me, no, it's not.
Right.
You know, and like I said, someone said, I would hope so, finally. But trust is earned, is what I said.
Yeah.
And we cannot trust this government until they've earned it.
Exactly.
And at this moment in time, they have not earned it. They haven't earned it with the Epstein files.
Right.
They haven't earned it with our JFK files.
Right.
With, of course, the January 6th files. And we know there's January 6th files everywhere.
Yes.
So now they're going to throw this January 6th bomb.
So to speak.
the FBI, like here, right, I'm reading from Grok. It says FBI releases January 6th pipe bomb case files to House Republicans, in which the House Judiciary Committee did request them. And so they will be releasing the documents related to this January 6th pipe bomb.
This is what we talked about the other day, that Cash was ahead of schedule. Even they were bragging on him being ahead of schedule and happy with him, that he was meeting the March 17th deadline by a lot. You know?
Yes. So this is one of them. And there's a whole lot more that's fixing to come out. It's going to be a week of FBI releases. But they're going to release them. And this is what I've noticed. In like sections like this. Okay. It's going to the House Judiciary. And then another one is going to go to, what's the one with Anna Paulina Luna that they have the RFK files? I mean, JFK files. It's going to go to that. That's where they're going to go.
Right.
They're all going to go to these committees.
Right. And well, to what end? That's kind of my question with it. To what end? Because, and maybe I'm wrong, but if you have this, all this stuff filed and you've got all this stuff correlated and you've got all this stuff ready to present to a House Judiciary for them to go, oh, okay, well, look, this is what's going on. Then in my logical opinion, then that's called evidence, and you should be taking this to a judge or to a grand jury looking for arrests. This is what you should be doing with it.
I agree.
Because you're going to take it over here to these guys. They're going to use it to leverage themselves and to turn it into a damn circus. They're a bunch of clowns, and you know how it's going
to end
up. You
have to give them something to do, I guess.
Yeah, you know how it's going to end just, up. Man.
Yeah, and they're going to suggest that people be referred to the DOJ, you know, or to the FBI, whoever charges them.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll see if anything gets done ever, because obviously we can't trust Pam Bondi.
No.
Because she has not released the Epstein files.
No.
And at this point, we're not expecting anything.
No.
I mean, why don't you just tell us you just don't have it?
Right. Exactly.
Why don't you tell us already that they destroyed it all?
They've
had plenty
of
time while we've sat around and hollered about it, don't you think?
Well, sure they have. Sure they have. And you know, you think about that. We've pointed this out before, too, and I know everybody has. There's not been one criminal charge against. There's not been one single criminal charge come forward. Not one. So.
No, but.
Why not? Because there ain't no evidence no more.
Well, and that's true. And everything that they try to do. You know, activist judges stop it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the we just found out before we came on the air that Perkins Coie filed a lawsuit to stop Trump's administration from taking away their national security
clearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could not believe that.
Yeah.
And like, it is his choice.
Right.
It is his choice. You are the guys. I mean, if we don't have any consequences whatsoever for these people that totally turned on the American people, then we will never have any consequences on anything,
man,
that they do.
No, that's like when we first heard of Cash going to turn over these J6 files to the House Judiciary. I said, look at this. This is how this goes. We're going to take corruption and turn it over to the corrupted people to investigate the corruption. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, but it is kind of encouraging. It's very encouraging when you do see something come out. You know, it's so small. It's like a little bit at a time. And we want it to all happen at one time. That's what they're not understanding.
Yeah.
We want it done all at one time. We want to see it done.
Tired of the can being kicked down the road.
Cash Patel came out today and said that they have caught somebody, a CBP, you know, officer who...
involved in some fraud. Yeah.
Yes. He was charged with attempting to defraud FEMA and lying to federal agents.
Yeah.
So he was caught, and they're catching these people one at a time. That's what it takes, because they're fighting the system. And I get that we're all frustrated. I am so frustrated, you know,
yep.
And I get that. And one of the main things that I have been, you know, like behind the whole time was the Department of Education being on the chopping block. I'm telling you, I think the best thing we can, besides USAID, that's cool, because that's
any NGO. Yeah.
Yeah. But the Department of Education. So I put out a poll this morning. It didn't get very, very many people that voted on it, but I'm proud of it because
it got enough for a sample.
It got enough for a sample.
Yes, it did.
And we're going to use it tonight. And I asked, do you approve or disapprove of the Department of Education being on the chopping block? And 92.9% approved and 7.1% disapproved. Now, this was out of 14 votes. It was over 8 hours. But someone commented on it, and I appreciated it. Her name is Lisa G., and she has 100% in her tag. So I just wanted to read her, what she thinks about it. And she said, Department of Education should only have three purposes. One is to set federal standard testing and administrator credentials for all levels. Number two, set federal standard curriculum to receive federal matching funds, electives, or our state local responsibility. And number three, independent IG to audit all above, including federal funds.
Thank you to Lisa G for at least commenting on this. And I like this too. I do like number one. I like number three. I'm not a big fan of number two. You know, number two says to set federal standard curriculum to receive federal matching funds. Electives are state and local responsibility. Well, basically what that's saying is, hey, if you don't shove our curriculum in there, we're not going to give you no money.
Yes.
That's basically what that's saying.
That's exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's what I got out of that, too.
Yeah.
And so we do appreciate Lisa G for participating.
But yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
Lisa is right. We need to set federal standards on teaching and administrator credentials at all levels.
Yes.
So, yes, I agree.
I agree 100%. But education department last night lays off nearly 50% of its staff.
Yep. As we're talking about the Department of Education. And there are. They're getting chopped. At least half of them's on the block.
Half of them are on the block. Now, I'm not laughing at anyone losing their job. But we did vote for smaller government.
Yes.
And these jobs that are being, are now, these people are now available to take private jobs to help the economy. This is what we're doing. This is what it's all about.
Well,
folks.
And not only that, just like with them laying off 50% of the staff, we do know people that are teachers, and we know people that are in the school administrations and all. And most of the government stuff is an exercise in redundancy. It's just redundant stuff. It's just more of the same crap. So why have the state controlling it and federal at the same time? I get it.
Yeah,
why
have
the
TEA?
That's right. It should
be
the responsibility
of the
state
and the Department of Education.
It should be the state's responsibility.
You know, honestly, I don't think we need a TEA, but that's just me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm working on that too, because that they set boundaries and they set these, you know, laws and these tests and everything. And honestly, people, our education just needs to go back to reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yeah, science and biology. That's it, man. That's it. Well, let's talk about this laying off 50% of its staff. What we do know is that the U.S. Department of Education on Tuesday announced these cuts, and they're impacting more than 1,300 of its employees. Included in the cutting of staff are nearly 600 employees who accepted the voluntary resignation offer and retirement over the last 7 weeks. The Education Department staff will now sit at roughly half of its previously 4,100. What does this mean for everybody? Like you're talking about, the layoffs are part of a dramatic downsizing directed by President Trump as he moves to reduce the footprint of the federal government. Thousands of jobs are being expected to be cut across the Department of VA, the Social Security Administration, and other agencies. He began cutting the Education Department staff through buyout offers and termination of probationary employees. He done this prior to this thing coming out yesterday. They're also going to terminate leases on buildings in cities, including New York, Boston, Chicago, and Cleveland. And in a memo issued on March the 3rd, The Education Secretary, Lynn McMahon, told the employees to brace for profound cuts. She said it was the department's, in quote, final mission to eliminate bureaucratic bloat and turn over the agency's authority back to the states. Amen. Where it belongs.
Absolutely great. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. This is
rip
one
the
of,
Band-Aid off,
rip
man.
The Band-Aid off. Just do it. Yep. Just do it. Of course, this will be held up also in the court of activist lawyers. You know how that goes.
Sure. That's how the Marxists and the commies fight through the lawfare.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of. Speaking of. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about Bill Burr.
I love Bill Burr.
I don't love Bill Burr. We have, me and James have.
You almost did it.
You almost said your nickname.
Yeah.
Almost did it.
Yeah.
But we have had a disagreement about Bill Burr for a couple of 3 or 4 years now. And I'm not a fan. He is.
Yeah.
You know, but he likes that kind of comedy.
Bill Burr just talks shit and he talks trash about people and he breaks everybody's balls, man. He does, man. You know what I mean? He has for years, man.
Well, you know, at one time, he was a conservative, Bill Burr. At one time, he was a funny conservative, Bill Burr. He was.
Yeah.
And you cannot tell me that he was Democrat.
Yeah.
He was not. He was a conservative to the core.
Well,
and then he goes and marries a Democrat and becomes left. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'm not very forgiving of it.
Here's what I love about Bill Burr is he does, even in this clip right here you're going to listen to, he takes a shot at Elon Musk and he talks trash at Elon, man.
And I'm not happy about that trash.
Because he just breaking his balls. Okay. That's all he's doing.
We're going to let you listen and let you decide. You've heard our opinions about the guy, you know, but once you hear what he has to say, and the guy isn't serious, he isn't talking comedy. He's talking serious.
He's Bill Burr, man.
All right. Here you go. Listen.
That idiot Elon Musk.
Oh.
That guy, like, he's going to, who evidently is a Nazi. Like, I just refuse to believe that it was an accidental two-time Sieg Heil. And he does it at a presidential inauguration. This is why I hate liberals. It's like liberals have no teeth whatsoever. They just go, oh, my God. Can you believe I'm getting out of the country? I'm just like, you're going to leave the country because of one guy with dyed hair plugs and a laminated face who makes a bad car and has an obsolete social media platform? You're going to leave this. Why doesn't he leave? Why isn't he stopped? What are we so afraid of this guy who can't fight his way out of a wet paper bag?
You can take him on.
Like, why do liberals just sit back and not, they have nothing.
What are you doing?
This.
Okay.
This. You got to speak up about it. You don't just go like, oh my God, what? Listen, first of all, it's like, I'm a stand-up comedian. It's not my friggin' job. I'm talking about like Democratic politicians.
Then he needs to stay
Where
out of it.
Where is their pushback? They're allegedly liberal.
He's a
you
comedian.
See this guy do
he
this
needs to
thing.
Stay out of it.
You know what the end result of this thing is, which all these neo-Nazis, not only are they stupid because they're neo-Nazis, they don't even look at what Hitler did. He ruined their country. And this idiot is going to try to lead us down that road and then play it off and act like he didn't do what he just did. And you can get canceled as a comedian for doing a friggin' Caitlyn Jenner joke, but this ass can Sieg Heil and nothing happened. Where are all the liberals? Where are all of these white chicks at the award shows that were speaking truth to power? Where are they?
You see what I mean, though? I think in all of that, man, he's just, first off, he started out messing with Elon, calling him a Nazi with the double C, you know.
I know.
He
did not do that at the, he even said that at the wrong place. It was a rally.
Right.
That he did it at, not at the inauguration.
Man, he knows that that was a joke, and he was making fun of the liberals for even trying to call it out and make it what it was. You know what I mean? To turn it into that. It's what he was doing was calling them out. And then he even calls them out later on. He's like, hey, man. She goes, well, what are you going to do? He goes, well, exactly this. I'm speaking out. Man.
And he said it's not his job.
Yeah.
And it's not his job
But he has a First Amendment right to say whatever he does.
He does. And
I just think he's hilarious.
He has the First Amendment right to be ratioed because he has been ratioed all over X today. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. Everyone has their own opinions. You know, I used to tolerate Bill Burr. I never was a huge fan.
But look what he says. He said he's evidently a Nazi with dyed hair plugs and a laminated face. And I hate liberals for being so afraid of this guy.
Well, you know.
Well, look, back during all the COVID and all that shit, look at how all the comedians just shrunk away and wouldn't talk about nothing. And
just like him, he was the same way.
Exactly. Maybe that's what he's learning.
That's when he changed.
You know what I mean? Maybe that's what he's learning is, hey, man, fuck it. What do you got to do? You go ahead and speak it out anyway. Might as well. You know what I mean?
You know what I don't understand is why Elon?
Because if it wasn't him, it'd be somebody
else.
It'd
be President Trump.
Elon was a topic.
Are they tired of talking about Trump?
Who knows?
All of a sudden, it's got to be Elon.
They were probably already talking about Elon. So he just goes off on a rant.
I'm not just saying him. I'm saying everyone. Why won't people leave Elon Musk alone?
Because they act.
I just don't get that part of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's none of those things.
All he is a consultant.
All he is. And he's liberal at that.
And that's there again, he's making fun of liberals too, because there again, isn't smaller government and isn't less government overreach and isn't cutting fraud, waste, and abuse pretty much a liberal idea? Now, not a leftist, not these crazy commie Marxist people
saying.
That we got going on over there.
Yes.
But isn't that a liberal principle? You know what I mean?
They and just now hate it doing that Elon it. Isn't on their side.
Exactly. But he's in there doing it, and now they're bitching about it. And so maybe that's where he's going with it, man. I think he poked fun at both sides. I think he did right here.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
We'll end on a nice note with that, because me and him don't agree. We just don't on Bill Burr. I don't think he's funny.
Yeah.
At all. You know, I used to think he was kind of funny, you know, but I've never really, because he does go a little bit too far, but I don't respect him. Okay. This is my thing. I don't respect him for standing up for his own beliefs. I don't believe for a minute he believes that.
I don't believe for a minute that
he is that left.
Okay. And that is part of what I'm talking about with a lot of the comedians. Hey, man, what they're doing, these don't necessarily have to be their foundation or their principles. This doesn't have to be none of that, because they're just thinking up funny stuff and bringing it out there, and it might be a 100% lie, but if it's funny, or it strikes people as funny, or if it touches something over here, you know what I mean, touches a nerve over here, or it gets somebody going, hey, you know, well, whatever. I think that's where comedians come from, man. Chappelle does it. You know what I mean? Burr does it. They all do it. They all, and we grew up with, our Gen Xers grew up with people like Richard Pryor, and people like Eddie Murphy and Dave Chappelle and, you know, Eddie Griffin and Red Fox and God, man, George Carlin.
You know what I mean?
George Carlin. All the people that would tell the hard-ass truth, it didn't matter, and they'd say what they wanted to say. And that's all Bill's doing, and Bill's just having fun and laughing at these people, and I think he poked his liberal wife. But he dogs her as much in his acts as he does anybody else. If you've ever paid close attention to him, he does, man.
To get that, you know. But
I think
still,
I think he just breaks on everybody. It doesn't matter.
Well, they just need to leave Elon alone. Let him do his thing. And so what? If you can't stand the heat, then you need to get out of the kitchen, because that's just my message to Bill Burr, is you need to leave Elon alone. And this is why. This is why. Not just you, Bill. Everybody needs to leave him alone, because he is finding the fraud.
Why,
this
sure
is what
is.
They hate.
Elon ain't gonna stop.
Elon, yeah. I don't want him to stop. He is doing an amazing job. Him and his whole crew is doing an amazing job. They're fighting so much right now. Yeah. With people going after his company,
that's why Bill took a minute to just make light and joke and laugh about it. You know what I mean? And he was just breaking his balls.
Well, why didn't he talk about how good our economy is getting? You know, and how long has President Trump been president? 6 weeks,
right?
You know, and U.S. gas prices hit a 4-year low for March.
Yep.
Now, is that amazing?
Yep.
They've reached their lowest level.
Yep, they have. They've fallen for the third consecutive week, reaching the lowest level for the month of March since 2021. According to Gas Buddy, the decrease in price offers some financial relief amidst concerns over the inflation and the global economic stability.
That's exactly right.
So, hey, people, there again.
U.S. inflation slows to 2.8% in February. Absolutely great.
And that's slightly below the expected rate of 2.9%. So that's an even bigger win. We'll take it. So yes. I guess to wrap this up, we can ask the question today, is this thing working?
Rise up.